Now, shall we open our Bibles to the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, please? John chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father loveth me, even so know I the as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Down to verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, that which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. May God bless the reading of his precious word. Shall we pray? And blessed God, our Father, we thank thee for bringing before us this morning another phase, another picture of thy beloved Son. We've seen him in many ways in this wonderful Gospel of John, but here we see him this morning as the Good Shepherd. We pray, Lord, that our hearts might rejoice as we gaze upon thy beloved Son. Teach us more of thy blessed ways, thou holy Lamb of God, and fix and root us in thy grace as those redeemed by blood. We seek thy blessing in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Now we have, for those who are visiting, we have been talking for quite a long time from John's Gospel. I don't want to bore you with the same subject all the time, but it'll take a long time to get through John's Gospel, and when we speak only about once a month, and we have a conference lasting 4 or 5 months in the winter, You can't get very far even in a year. But it's been a great joy to study these different degrees of hatred and strife and malice against the Lord Jesus. As he came into this world to represent God. He came into this world full of grace and truth to dwell among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But the Jews didn't want that. The Jews hated him. The Jews said he's an imposter, as we've just read, the last things we read, when he said that I and the Father, when he said to them, Jesus answered, many good works. No, he said, I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And we've seen the advance of the hatred against the Son of God. And we'll see it getting worse and worse as we go on through this gospel. We're in what we're calling the period of conflict when they're fighting him. Soon it'll be the period of crisis as we get near the end of his wonderful earthly life. But this morning we have the Lord in this chapter as the Good Shepherd. A chapter all alone, 10th chapter of John, unique. It's the only chapter in the whole Bible that deals entirely with this question of the Lord as the Good Shepherd. Now, very briefly, let's try and get a little survey of the chapter and see if we can understand what the Holy Spirit is teaching us here. The first 6 verses are kind of an introduction and a statement of what is in the chapter. The first 6 verses. And then we run from verse 7 down to the end of the 18th verse. And there's a kind of a break, and then the Lord takes up the question of the shepherd and the sheep later again in the chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now we have to get this clear in our mind. The sheepfold here in these first 6 verses, as I understand the scripture, the sheepfold here is the house of Israel. The Lord Jesus. And John is teaching this all the way through. In the 11th verse of the first chapter, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he came as the shepherd of Israel, and he entered by the door into the sheepfold, and to him the porter opened, and let him into the sheepfold, the sheepfold of Israel. Now there's some Old Testament scriptures I would like to read. How easily we understand them now, and yet how blank and dark and blind were the minds of these Pharisees and these religious zealots of the Lord's day who just hated him. And their minds were so blank they couldn't see that he was fulfilling the very scriptures which they loved or professed to love and professed to know and understand. Let's go right back to Genesis chapter 49 a moment. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob is blessing his sons, his 12 sons, and of course the 2 sons of Joseph. He's blessing them there in the 49th chapter before he departs. And he says in verse 2, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. And then he takes son by son, the 12 sons, and he tells a little bit about their past, and he tells a lot about their future. And there's a lot of prophecy in this wonderful chapter written so long, long ago. But I don't want to pick out, I only just want to pick out a verse here, or read 2 or 3 verses. Look at verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now the Lord Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. That was the royal tribe, the tribe of Judah. But here he says, from thence is the shepherd, the mighty God of Jacob. The God of Jacob was going to send a shepherd to Israel. And he takes Joseph here as a type, a picture of the shepherd. Let's read it again. He says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The archers have sorely grieved him, and they took up stones to stone him. We read that this morning. They shot at him, not in that day with arrows, but they took up stones to stone him. And they sorely grieved him. What a picture Joseph was of the Lord Jesus, the one who was separated from his brethren. Joseph, who was sold for 20 pieces of silver and taken away to be a slave and separated from his father and his father's house for so long, long, so many years. What a type and what a picture. And here it is, way, way back in the 49th chapter, that this is the shepherd of Israel. If Jacob is a picture, Joseph is a picture of the shepherd of Israel. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So they didn't understand. The Lord tells them, I'm the shepherd. They didn't know he was fulfilling the same scripture. Their hearts were blind and dark and black, and they didn't know. Let's go to another very, very, very well-known scripture. The 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a wonderful description of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. But their eyes were blind and they didn't know. Look at Psalm 80. Psalm 80 and verse 1. Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth, the shepherd of Israel. But they didn't know him. He came as the shepherd of Israel. Now, to be the shepherd, he had to come in a certain way. The true shepherd had to enter into the sheepfold by the door. By the door. And he says, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, there were other shepherds that came to Israel. There were false messiahs, and I understand during the years previous to the coming of the Lord Jesus, there were many who set themselves up as false messiahs. Let's read a few verses in Ezekiel chapter 34, please. Ezekiel chapter 34. Chapter 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have not been strengthened, neither have ye healed them that were sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled over them, and they were scattered, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And here is a picture in the Old Testament, spoken by the prophet Ezekiel, revealed to Ezekiel, of these false shepherds that came to Israel. And they were scattered. It reminds us, of course, of the Babylonish captivity. I know they went into Babylon and they were taken away into captivity because of their sin and their idolatry and their rejection of the true God. I know that. But oh, that there might have been shepherds that could have led them and cared for them and bound up the wounds and looked after them, but they didn't have them. And there were messiahs there were men who professed to be the Messiah, and they came in. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and he says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. What does he mean by the door? We have to go back to Matthew chapter 1 to know what he means by the door. If you read chapter 1 and read that wonderful genealogy and trace the genealogy of the Lord right back to David, the king of Israel, and you'll know, and David was a great shepherd, you know that the Lord was the one who came the right way. To get in by the door, he had to come through the real genealogy according to the prophecies of the Old Testament. No, nobody could pop up and say, I'm the Messiah, I'm the shepherd, I can come in. Oh no. He had to come in the right way according to the rules and according to the prophetic scriptures, the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus, in his birth and in his life and in his death, he did everything in accordance with the prophecies written about him hundreds of years before. That's the true shepherd. And that's what it means by entering in by the door. By the door. He had to be born of a virgin. Isaiah tells us that. And he was. He came in by the door. God's door. But he says, he that entereth in by the door, he's the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Who was the porter? I suggest the porter was John the Baptist. To him the porter openeth. The Lord came to John the Baptist, and he said, I want to be baptized. And John says, oh no, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? He knew him. He knew his spotless life. And he said, I can't baptize you. I have need to be baptized of thee. And the Lord Jesus said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it behoves us to fulfill all righteousness. Ah, but there's more in that righteousness there than just reading those words. When the Lord Jesus submitted to the ordinance of baptism. We had a little baptismal service here last Sunday afternoon. But when the Lord Jesus submitted to baptism, and we know baptism is a type of death, the Lord was not, when we're baptized, we look back to death with Christ and say we have died with him. The Lord didn't say that. The Lord looked on when he was baptized. Suffer it to be so now. And he went down into the waters of baptism, typifying death. And the waters passed over him. and there in tight he went down into death. And further down he says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the porter opened, and John baptized. And he came into the fold. You see, that's how they were coming in those days. They were repenting and confessing their repentance and being baptized. Now, the Lord had nothing about which he had to repent. He had never sinned. But still he came that way, the Jewish way of that day, and submitted, and the door was opened by John the Baptist, and he came in. To him the porter openeth, and the Lord Jesus in his baptism looked on, just a matter of 3.5 years, when he'd hang in shame upon the cross, and take our place and die in our room instead. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now here's a wonderful truth coming out here. What the Lord was going to do was something altogether new. These people loved everything that belonged to Judaism. They loved their law, they didn't keep it. They loved their temple, they desecrated it and bought and sold oxen and exchanged money in the temple and so on. But they loved all this. But the Lord says, when the shepherd comes, the sheep are going to hear his voice. Of course, you've got to know who are the sheep. Those that are not sheep don't hear his voice. You can't hear the voice of the Son of God if you're not saved. You've got to be born again. And when we're born again and when we're saved, we hear his voice. And listen what he says. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. What's he talking about? Oh, I can see something prophetic here. A few years later, that thing about which we often speak here, the church was coming into being, something new. The Jewish fold, God has put that on one side after Calvary. God has put the Jewish economy and the Jewish law and the Jewish ritual on one side. And the Lord is bringing in something altogether new, his church. And he calls them out of Judaism. What for? To put them in the church. He says, and when they hear his voice, he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Don't you think the Lord was looking on down through this wonderful period of grace, this wonderful age in which we live, when he's calling Jews out? We'll come to Gentiles presently, but he's calling them out, and he's leading them out, and they hear his voice. And then he's going to gather them in. We'll see that in a moment. A stranger they will not follow. How many strangers there are today? How many false prophets? Turn on the radio, listen day by day. Oh, no, don't listen to it. How much there is false stuff in the world today, false teaching going on, and there are false shepherds, strangers. But the true sheep who are born again, they hear his voice. It says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. How blind they were. They had those Old Testament scriptures I have been reading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But they didn't understand it. He didn't know who the shepherd was. He didn't know. And he was the shepherd of Israel. Now let's go a little further down. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again. Now he's going to explain. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now further, we were talking about the door of the sheepfold. He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now this is another door now. The first door was the door into the flock of Israel. He came that way. He came by the virgin birth. He came according to the prophecies concerning him. He came according to the genealogy in chapter 1 of Matthew. He was the true shepherd who entered by the door into the sheepfold. But here's another door. He says, I am the door. You see, he led them out now. Or he's talking about leading them out of that old shepherd, that old sheepfold. And now there's got to be a new sheepfold. And there's got to be a new door. And who's the door? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep, the real true sheep, did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And now we're back there about Joseph. The archers shot at him. He was rejected and cast out by his brethren. And here's the Lord Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's looking on to the place called Calvary. And he's saying, in effect, this is what I meant when I said to John, suffer it to be so now, and the porter opened the door and I was baptized. That's what it meant, that I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm going to the place called Calvary. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 12, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. You see, if you own sheep of your own, and they are your very own, they're far more precious to you than if you've got some fellow you pay so many dollars a week to go and look after the sheep for. What do you care about? All he cares about is one thing. When Friday night comes, he's going to get his week's pay. That's what he wants. And that's just what he says here. There could be honest shepherds, of course, but I'm speaking generally, and the Lord says it here. He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Here comes the wolf, and he says, why should I jeopardize my life? Why should I be torn to pieces by a wolf? Think of David, what a wonderful shepherd, when he went to King Saul, and Saul said, who are you, stripling like you? What do you know about fighting? He said, I love it, you know. I put a square on it in my Bible. He said to King Saul, thy servant kept, and I put a square on that, thy servant kept his father's sheep. He was a good shepherd. He kept the sheep. And then he says, a lion came, and I tore him to pieces. And a bear came, and I tore him to pieces. He jeopardized his life for the sake of the sheep. He was a good shepherd. But the hireling, when he sees the wolf, he's going to run away. Why should I worry? Never mind, let the wolf tear up the sheep. And oh, beloved, in this day, we will have some care, or need to have some care of the flock of God and the testimony of God in this dark age, how we should be exercised about these things. There are hirelings today. There are men being paid salaries and big salaries. What for? To feed the flock, and they're not doing it. They're not doing it. They're false shepherds. They're not teaching them the truth. I'm not going to mention names, but oh, how we could mention. Down through the Middle Ages, you think of the dark, dark Middle Ages, when men had great position and pomp and fame to run the church, but oh, what they did, tore it to pieces. And he says, the hireling, he doesn't care. When he sees danger and he might get hurt himself, he runs away and leaves the sheep to be torn to pieces. I am the good shepherd, verse 14. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. What a wonderful thing. I am the good shepherd. I'm not going to run away when danger comes. I'm going to go to the place called Calvary, and they're going to shoot their arrows at me and cast their stones at me, as it were. And they're going to scourge me and crown me with thorns, and they're going to nail me to a cross of shame. But I'm not going to run away. I'm the good shepherd, and I'm going to give my life. I'm going to give my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and have known of mine. Let me ask a question. I asked it just now. Do you know the shepherd? If you are really his, then he knows you. Now, you could sit in this meeting this morning and say, oh, yes, I'm a believer. Or you could sit in this meeting and say, oh, I joined a church so many years ago, I'm all right. That's not what it says. There's not one word about joining a church here. There's not one word of saying I'm all right. The thing here is to know that I am saved. To know the shepherd. He says, my sheep, I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Do you know? Has there been that moment in your life when you accepted him personally and owned him as your Lord and Master, and he became your shepherd? Then he knows you, and you know him, and nothing in time or eternity can change that. You'll see that a little later on. He gives unto them eternal life. Nothing can change it. It's ours for all eternity. Go down a little bit further, verse 16. And I love this verse. To me, it's the greatest verse, probably. Well, no, the greatest verse must be, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But the next verse to me in this 10th chapter is verse 16. And other sheep I have. You see, he's been talking to the Jews. He came to the Jewish fold. He was talking to Israel all the time. This was to do with Israel. Shepherd of Israel, we've read about. And then he says, other sheep I have. And do you know, when he said that, do you know what the Jews would do? They'd spit. They'd say, if you're referring to Gentile dogs, we don't want to hear you. They'd take up stones to stone him. We hate the Gentiles. Gentile dogs. And that's just what he was talking about. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold. The Gentiles who were never in that Jewish fold, never came under the Mosaic law, were separated, were let without God. How is it we get it in Ephesians chapter 2? Without God and without hope in the world, that's the Gentile. You know, I can't see any future for the Gentiles, honestly. Even now, with the things and events that are about to take place in the world, when the Lord Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom, it's to his people he's going to come. As far as I can see, the Gentiles are going to suffer terribly in the great tribulation. I know it's a time of Jacob's trouble. I know that. And I know the Jews will suffer. But the Gentiles who have rejected him, when he's given his life for them, I don't see much hope for the Gentiles. Gentile kingdoms, they'll end. The times of the Gentiles will end when the Lord Jesus sets up his kingdom. But here he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's you and me. These are the Gentiles outside of the Jewish fold. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. Oh, look at the word must. How it comes in John's gospel. He must needs go through Samaria. He must be born again. Them also I must bring. And to say that word must, he had to think of Calvary. And he had to think of all the pain and shame and sorrow and agony of the cross of Christ before he could say must. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, the Gentiles. And there shall be one, and here the language changes. There's a Greek word, avlin, that means a sheepfold, you know. And in the beginning of the chapter, in the verse here, it says, other sheep which are not of this fold, there the word is avlin. But when it gets down to the end and it says there should be one fold, it changes to pimin, which is a different thing. The avlin, that's the kind of, the sheepfold. The fence all around the sheepfold and so on. But when you get to the word pimin, it doesn't mean that. It means the flock. The flock. Other sheep that are not of this sheepfold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one flock, and one shepherd. And the Jews and the Gentiles together are going to become something altogether new. One flock, he called it. No longer a sheepfold, but a flock. And he says, I'm going to be the shepherd over this new flock. No wonder he said further, he calleth them out. Why, he called them out of Judaism, and he calls us out of Gentiles, and he makes a new flock. What is that? It's his church. And how many times I've said from this platform, there are three classes of people in the world today. The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. And you and I were either born Jew or Gentile. But once we're born again, we're neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're in this new flock. And we know the shepherd. And he knows us. And we hear his voice. And he leads us out of whatever we belonged to before. Separates us from the world. And separates us from those things which were ours and which we boasted and were so proud of. Oh, you think of the men that are in the different societies and orders of the world today, how proud they are. And the Lord, when he saves them, he can take them out of all that nonsense and stuff and bring them out and make them part of his flock. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why did God love him? Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. That's why God loved him. Because he came here for this very purpose, to lay down his life that the sheep might be saved. And taken out of that fold and out of the other fold, and they out of that flock, that fold and that flock, fold, and become a new flock in Christ Jesus. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And it says there was a division therefore again among the Jews. Bound to be a division. Why, when I preach like I'm preaching this morning, about coming out of this fold and out of that fold, there's bound to be a division. Because those that come out are going to be divided from those that are left behind. And when the Lord Jesus comes back and call the flock and call the church to himself, there's going to be a division. Those who are not saved, you may be sitting here this morning not yet saved. But if Christ comes today, you'll be left behind. There'll be a division because of him. Eternal division. Now our time is just 2 minutes. Let's go. Hurry down. It seems as if the discussion ended there for a while, and it's picked up again, maybe later on, because it must be. It was the Feast of Dedication, verse 22, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews came and asked him, how long you make us doubt? If you're the Messiah, why don't you say you're the Messiah? Well, he's been saying it now for all these months and months, but they won't believe it. They won't believe it. So he said, ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I love these words. I give unto them eternal life, John 10:28. And they shall never perish. Do you believe it? They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When God saved me, he saved me for all eternity. They shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, we who believe in the Lord Jesus are in His hand. And then His hand is in the Father's hand. For what security for all eternity? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father. Beloved, we've got an eternal salvation in the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who laid down His life for the sheep. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we thank Thee for this little study, so interesting, Lord, and so fascinating, of how Thou, Lord Jesus, didst come to Thine own people. He came to His own, but His own received Him not. And we thank Thee, Lord, Thou hast opened the door, and Thou hast abolished the old sheepfold, and Thou hast created something altogether new, a flock. And Thou art the shepherd, guiding and caring and guarding the flock. And Thou art the one who didst lay down Thy precious life and shed Thy precious blood that we might be saved. We thank Thee for these words. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Bless these words, we pray Thee, and dismiss us with Thy blessing, we ask it, in our Savior's precious name, amen.